Hello and welcome to Mr. Sledge's After Party, the not safe for work show that you hide from your significant other. This is the extra episode that I talk about topics which wouldn't really fit inside the confines of the other show, but I wanted to talk about them anyway. I will cuss, I will say mean things, and hopefully make you think, or laugh, or both. So put your big boy jock straps on, because this week I will be talking about sports balling.
I just joined. Seems like a good club, though. Has everything, right, Phil?
Yeah, Olympic-sized pool, handball, the whole shebang. Ha ha! Bang.
Hey, you're out of talc!
Now, I listen to a lot of podcasts, all of which are better produced and more accurate than the one you are currently listening to. And sometimes they contain topics that I want to rip off, talk about. If you want to hear a Harvard-educated lawyer talk about the following topic for 2 hours, then listen to opening arguments. Or, you can listen to me for a couple of minutes. Your choice. Chris Hardwick, godfather of nerdery, readily admits the term nerd has lost some of its meaning due to the pervasiveness of nerd culture. You can be a video game nerd, a board game nerd, or even a sports nerd. Many of you know various members of the Court of Nerds have worked or still do work in sports journalism, or whatever it is that Drew does during the daylight hours. We all have a love of sports and obsess about it in our own ways. Hell, I think Grant has an Alan Trammell tattoo on his lower back. So I don't normally talk about sports, but today I'm calling this segment, Why We Can't Have Professional Football in the Spring and Summer. Back when I was in diapers, future president and genitalia grabber Donald Trump was trying to shake the shit out of professional football. At just 37 years of age, he had inherited his measly $40 million and had a lifetime of bankruptcies to look forward to until his inevitable Electoral College election. Hell, he was still on his first trophy wife named Ivana then. In 1982, the USFL was comprised of 12 teams that played its games in the spring, encouraged excessive end zone celebrations, and allowed both replay challenges and two-point conversions after touchdowns. Games were televised on ABC and an upstart cable channel called ESPN. The business's plan was simple: start small and slowly grow the league and player salaries until the league could support itself, like the NFL, which it originally didn't want to compete with, hence the games being played in the spring and the summer. That all changed when Donald Trump bought a team in 1983. Trump purchased the New Jersey Generals. This team had the benefit of having Heisman Trophy winner Herschel Walker already in the backfield. But they were losers, and Trump hates losers, even if he bought them. They won just 6 games the previous season. But the next season, when Trump bought in, the league swelled to 18 cities, a money grab by owners to collect millions in franchise fees and soften their growing losses. Future President Baby Hand soon broke the league's agreement to not pay salaries over $1 million so he could attract upcoming talent, the likes of Dan Marino or Jerry Rice. The rest of the owners had to follow suit if they wanted to be competitive. In Trump's first year, the Generals' record jumped from 6-12 to 14-4 before the New Jersey was knocked out of the first round of the playoffs. Average attendance at the Giants Stadium, their home field, topped 40,000. Trump signed Cleveland's MVP quarterback Brian Sipe to their first season, and he plucked Heisman Trophy winner Doug Flutie out of Boston College the next year. All-Pro linebacker Lawrence Taylor, already the toast of New York, secretly signed futures contract with the Generals, unhappy with what the Giants were paying him halfway through his 6-year deal with them. The windfall included a $1 million interest-free loan. When the NFL learned that the Generals' contract, the Giants gave Taylor a new, juiced-up offer. Taylor accepted it, and the Giants paying Trump at least $600,000 just weeks in to buy out the Generals' contract. But the Great Orange One wasn't done laying the groundwork for the destruction of the USFL. He somehow convinced other owners with his braggadocio to move their season to the fall to directly compete with the NFL. A move that seems so naive today. Canadian businessman John Bassett, beloved owner of the Tampa Bay Bandits and Trump's stoutest strategic rival, warned that such a move would trigger an apocalypse. That kind of opposition only prompted Trump to proclaim, quote, "If God wanted football in the spring, he wouldn't have created baseball," end quote. The apocalypse arrived in the summer of 1986. Having already lost a collective $200 million, the USFL owners, outdebted and outmaneuvered by Ivanka's daddy, voted 12-2 to move to the fall schedule. They went ahead with the $1.7 billion antitrust lawsuit against the NFL, who it claimed, among other things, had a chokehold on national TV rights. USFL owners hoped the suit would void the NFL's TV contracts, force a merger, or provide a game-changing payday. So instead of playing football in the spring of 1986, the USFL landed in U.S. District Court of Manhattan, the least likely district to give the USFL a favorable verdict. Trump brought in a lawyer, Harvey Mason, later jailed for a phony billing scheme, to lead the case with lawyer Roy Cohn, the counsel for Senator Joseph McCarthy's hearings in 1950s. The NFL focused its defense on the hairpiece in chief. Even back then, Trump loved suing and appealing his losses. He loves frivolous lawsuits to begin with, almost as much as he likes winning. So how do you beat a man with so much resources? Let him win. The 42-day trial ended with a jury ruling in the favor of the USFL. But it also concluded that the league's dire straits were largely a result of its own doing, not the NFL's, and so it awarded the USFL damages totaling $1. Damages in antitrust cases are tripled, so the award grew to $3. The USFL appealed all the way to the Supreme Court, which 4 years later allowed the award to stand, including interest. The NFL sent a check to the USFL for $3.76. Unfortunately, the USFL still had to pay the $6 million in legal fees that it had accrued during that time. So that's the story why we can't have football in the spring and summer. Thanks, President Trump.
I told you to leave 10 minutes ago. You know what? Get out of here. You're fired.
So welcome, new employee. May your career here be long and fruitful.
No, really, you're fired. Leave. Ha, ha, ha. Right to work state.
Thanks for listening to this little bit of whimsy. If you think what we do is worth doing, head over to our Patreon page and pledge a buck or two. I'm Kevin saying, if you can't beat 'em, just whine until you get your way. It works more than you think.